Hello, Mr. President. How are you?
Fine.
Rushing as always.
Always running from once.
Good. I see the Secretary General's coming online, so I leave you.
Hi, Duarte.
Hi, Martin. How are
you? Hi, how are you?
It's not just me that are running.
Yes. Everybody's running.
I think we should create a law.
Yeah.
Maybe in IPU. The days will have 48 hours.
I think so. I agree.
So it's much easier for everyone.
Yes, that's right.
And we give an order to the sun. And it will, not to the sun, to the earth, to go around the sun slowly. So it will be easier. We will not
that's
make
right,
24 hours,
right.
But 48.
Let's put that on the agenda of the next XCOM.
Martin,
okay.
Thank you for your time.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry I had to... I had to change the time of the meeting because I am here in Tanzania and I have to rush to the airport at 5 o'clock. That is when we would have had our meeting. So
no, okay, don't worry. I arrive on time. Thank God, because I came from. This is the day of my city, the municipal day, and that's. There is a holiday there with ceremonies. The President of the Republic will be there this afternoon, but it began at 10. And so I left, I came to Lisbon, and after lunch, I will go back again to Torres Vedras. This way, we are always running.
How far is it?
No, 1 hour. One hour from us. So no, it's not.
Okay,
so.
That's fine.
Okay, I understood that Arthur sent to you and to Sharon different issues that I remember to put in our agenda, but I believe, and I have more two or three in my mind, but maybe also you will have another ones that wish to propose.
Yes.
Other things. The first one is maybe, if you agree, we needed to fix the day and to send to the invitation of the XCOM meeting.
Yes.
Can be December 12th for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the December 12th is fine, but I had understood from my colleagues that maybe we could have it earlier. Because you would have to discuss the issue of the assembly, possible assembly in Angola, and we need to know whether we can begin to go ahead with arrangements for a meeting in Angola or not. Because maintain the reservations that we made at the conference center in Geneva.
Okay.
And so it would be good if we could have clarity before then. And so I don't know if Sharon is on this call and to indicate when it is that we could do the meeting before the 12th of December. Sharon, are you on?
I'm here, yeah. Mr. Secretary General. Yes, the only other option would be the 5th of December. The reason for that being that they will only have returned from the assessment of the mission the week before that.
Okay.
So that would be another possible date.
But on the 5th, it's not easy. Maybe, okay, maybe I don't mind. The 5th, because I will attend. The 5th is that meeting in Djibouti. But I believe that I will address the opening ceremony. And so, if it is after lunch, in my room, I can join. And it's online. For me, it's okay.
Yeah, Yeah, Djibouti. How many hours is Djibouti ahead? 2 hours from Geneva? Which?
Are you sure? Arthur is saying that it's more 2 hours than Geneva.
From Lisbon or from Geneva?
Okay. So, if you arrange, okay, 2 hours in Geneva, it's 4 hours there. For me, it's okay.
Okay, so we will put, in that case, we would have this meeting at the same usual time. That's 3 p.m. Geneva time, is right? Is that right, Sharon?
Or 2, for me it's the same.
Okay, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock Geneva on the 5th.
And that would be 10 o'clock in Uruguay. Okay. Oh, well, 8 o'clock in Uruguay. So no, 10 o'clock.
5th.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. 5th of December.
2 o'clock of Geneva time. It's four p.m. in Djibouti.
Okay. Okay. 2 o'clock. Okay. 2 o'clock.
Okay. Now, for me, it's okay, Martin. No?
Okay, very good, very good. Then?
Okay, this is easy.
Yes.
The other point that it was for me, I would like to organize something, and we discussed this in 2020, but because of the pandemic, it never happened. Because of the pandemic. Before I leave the job, I would like to have with you all the staff of IPU a Christmas dinner or a New Year lunch or something similar, you know. Since the first day, I talk about a team, like a family. And yes. Unfortunately, the pandemic never allow us to do it.
Okay.
If it is possible, maybe not in December, because I believe that everyone will be full of Christmas events. But during the first week of January, for instance, a New Year lunch, dinner, I don't know what you think, Martin, with all the staff, also to say goodbye, because it will be my last opportunity to say it.
But too early, Duarte, too early.
I really believe in Christmas, the spirit of the family, and yeah. the first 2 years, it was not possible. If it is possible the last year, I would like. To organize.
Yeah,
something.
Okay. Yeah, but just so you know, we had discussed that in the past. It never happened. But we normally would have a traditional Christmas party for the staff and their families. And we had planned that this would be on the 14th of December. And that date was chosen because we have a couple of colleagues who are leaving. Well, one left already, but we never really said goodbye to them. And then there's one who is leaving too at the end of the year. So we thought we could combine all of that. And since the children would maybe at that time be on holidays, it's a moment for them. As we have always had these parties before to give them a little present from Father Christmas. So the date was chosen of the 14th of December. I don't know if that date is one that is you could come. And then I checked with my colleagues. They said that at the beginning of the year, people are still on holidays.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, they're still there. In January, they're still on holidays. And so if we need to do something, we need to do it way into the year. And so I was just wondering whether we could not find another opportunity where the president and the staff could get together for a lunch or a dinner at some time when most people
party,
would be around.
Or the party you do organize usually.
Yes.
No, yeah. For me it's okay. No. For me, on 14, no problem.
Yeah. Okay, so you would be able to come?
Yes, I have here something in my municipality. I will not attend. They will kill me, but okay. This is the. I will say that it's the last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Usually, what it is, just to know if it is possible to go and came back on the same day or not.
Yeah, it's just something that we do during lunchtime, and it's a couple of hours during which we wish each other Happy Christmas. And that, I see Sharon is saying that we start at 4:30, and then we give the children their gifts, and then that's fine. So. It might be possible to catch a late night flight back to Lisbon.
Okay. Okay, Martin. So for me, it's okay. It's easier. Then the other thing that I looked to the calendar and I became crazy with this month of March.
Yes.
Because we have the meeting in Doha on the 4th, a few days before Bahrain, our yes. assembly.
Yes.
And during these 2 weeks is the UN Status of Woman.
Yes.
And not just for me, but for you, and especially for women parliamentarians, mm-hmm. it is not easy if we organize our traditional meeting during our assembly,
yes.
and for the costs to go to Doha, then to New York, came back to Bahrain. It is not easy as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you are going from one part, from Middle East to UN, to New York, to America, and then came back again to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? This is something that I would like to know. What do you think that this meeting may happen on the 17th of March? Because mm-hmm. our assembly will finish on the 15th.
Yes.
So we can fly on 16 and have the meeting on 17. This is something that I will ask. It is a point of a question mark.
Yeah. Okay. We have checked. The thing is, normally when we do our parliamentary meeting, we do it before the high-level segment so that the outcomes of that meeting can be presented to the high-level segment. And the high-level segment takes place during the first week of the CSW, which I do understand is taking place. I'm just checking my notes here. Yes, I think I don't have it here. But if we hold it at the end of the CSW, then there's no way we can present our report to the CSW.
Okay.
So I have been told, my colleagues have told me that it is important for us to have that meeting before the high level segment.
It is possible on the 2 or 3, not 2.
Let me see.
Because the meeting in Doha is on the 4th.
Yeah. Okay. The CSW actually starts on the 5th. I think 5th of March.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
If we organize it on the 2, we can fly from New York to afternoon, to evening, or 3. And on the 4, be in Doha to the opening of the meeting there. That's
okay. Well, that would be for you as such, because the target of those two meetings are different. The targets are different. Those who go to CSW are not normally those who go to
the conference.
Yes, it would be for the president. So we need to check. If you could give me some time to check with my colleagues exactly whether it's possible to do it on the 2nd of March, then I can come back to you in early next week.
Okay. No, we don't need it today. But just try to, because this way I will attend on the 2 and 2 evening or 3. I will fly to Doha to opening the other one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is from Vietnam. We don't have any information about the youth until now.
Vietnam, they told me that you had asked them to see if they could change the dates.
Yes.
Yes, and they have. I saw the leader of the delegation. He told me that they could do that meeting between the 15th and the 20th of September that week, the 15th to the 20th of September. And I do know that the 15th is the International Day of Democracy. So
we can commemorate there.
We could think of commemorating there too, yes. Yes, so if you do think that week is something that is you are available.
Okay, Martin.
Then we can start planning around those dates.
Okay. Youth Forum. Okay, great. 15 to 20. Other question, Martin. In Oman, they raised two questions, and
yes.
I needed to give an answer for them.
Yes.
One is the incorrect number of women parliamentarians, because they have two chambers. And they said we should use the same criteria we should use to other Middle East countries, like they said Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or Emirates and so on. But especially they gave the example of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. It was something new for me. I said them, I will pack. After our discussion, because of course the same criteria should be happened everywhere. It is not possible to apply one criteria in one country and another one in another country. The second question, it's maybe more difficult because I don't know exactly how IPU define the size of the population. Because they said they don't are 2 million and 100 or 200,000, but more than 4 million, and they gave the example of Qatar. They said if you take in account just the Qataris, you will say that Qatar has just 300,000. If you have the population resident in Qatar is more than 1 million. And so the same happened here in Oman, and again, we should have the same criteria. Okay, so this is the two questions they raised last week, and I don't know if you are aware of that and you have information about it.
Yeah, well, that the issue of women parliamentarians, they have raised it on a number of occasions, and I did see the speaker of the lower house, who raised it with me again in when we were in Kigali. I asked my colleagues of the general team to sit down with his delegation to explain how we do the calculations, and they did. And I think the delegation did understand. I have since followed up with a letter. I think it was last week or so, that letter went out to the speaker to explain again exactly how those calculations are done. The countries that he mentioned are all one chamber parliaments. they have two chambers. So I explained the method of calculation as we deal with all other parliaments that are bicameral to him. And if you like, I can send, my office can send you a copy of that letter.
Please, Martin. Please.
Yes, yes.
Because what they said to me, that they didn't give me this information. Yeah. What they said to me, no. They are insisting to organize a meeting here. They are available to came to understand how we can empower the presence of women. Okay, but this is a question completely different. How to empower the presence of women, it's one question. If we are calculating well or not is other question.
That's right. Yes, we have explained. My colleagues did have explained to the delegation. Maybe the information was not passed on to the speaker, but I have written to the speaker. Sharon will send
a copy. Please.
Of the letter that I sent to them to explain that. Then when it comes to the population, it is each country that tells us what their population is. We in the Secretariat, we don't question the veracity of the information that each country gives us in terms of their population size. And when we send out convocations to assemblies, we do send a table showing the allocation of votes according to population. And we do ask each country to check that information and let us know if the information we have in terms of their population is accurate or not. And if it's not accurate, they should let us know. And many countries do check and send us the information in the Secretariat, and we modify the table. That's one instance. And also, during the assembly itself, we circulate that table again to all delegations because we have the emergency item vote, and we want to make sure that each one country has the number of votes that they're entitled to in terms of their population. So we have those opportunities when they can tell us, listen, our population is not 1 million, it's 1.5 million, we have grown. And we take it for their word and we change the figures. I think we have never had that problem, but we might, it might well be that in some cases the country decides to inflate its population and say we have grown from 1 million to 10 million. And then we start doubting, and then we go to the UN to see if that's true. But I don't, as far as I can remember, we haven't had to check this information when they have given it, when we have received it from the speaker. So if he thinks that the population of Oman has increased, he should tell us what the population is, and we will reflect this in the table.
Okay. No, I will say that because. Yeah. Many times people don't see
the
information just during our assemblies itself. We send the document in advance, but no one cares about it. And just there, when they are sitting, they came aware of some information that are on the table weeks before. But okay, yes. I will say that. Please be aware. And this is the correct moment, as soon as you receive the information, to contest with proofs, of course.
They can send it even now. They don't need to wait for the convocation to arrive. They can send, many of them do write to us spontaneously to say, we want to inform you that our population has increased to this number, and please reflect that in your statistics. And my colleagues would deal with the matter. They correct the figures accordingly. So they don't need to wait for us to convene the meeting in Bahrain for them to send us the information.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Then about in Bahrain, because I was there, I understood that everything is going well to the preparation. If it is in Portugal, I will not be so calm, because the Congress Center will be is a new one, and they wait to finish the construction next February. Here in Portugal, we never end in accordance with the program. And yeah. So, but okay, they said to me, don't worry, it will be finished. Okay, if they are so confident that the Congress Center will finish the construction next February, we needed to believe them, but everything is okay. Other point that I am not so confident, I share with you. I understood they make a contract with a private company to organize the event, all the logistics of the event. Mm-hmm. And they said a private company with a lot of experience that organized also the meeting of the dialogue forum that happened last week in Bahrain. But when I compare the organization in Kazakhstan with that one in Bahrain, forget. In Kazakhstan was perfect. In Bahrain, no one knows about anything. And so I am not confident with that company. If it is the same company, so because the meetings are very similar, interface with the same personalities, religious leaders, the Pope, the Grand Imam present, one with the President of the Republic, the other one with the King. But in Kazakhstan, everything was perfect. There, the confusion completely. No one knows the hours, the transfers. We never know where are the people, where are the cars, where is the venue. We see on TV events that we participants of Dialogue Forum, we didn't know that will happen. For instance, I spent one afternoon in the hotel because I said, no, there is nothing more today. Okay, I went to the hotel. Then, 2 hours after it, I watch on TV in direct meeting. A meeting is there. And the UN civilizations, Moratinos, representative Moratinos, then asked me, why didn't you attend the meeting this afternoon? And I said, because I didn't know about it. And so it seems that I went there to do tourism. You know me. I never will miss a meeting if it is in the program. To give one example. And so I am not confident. And when they said, they are very professional, it's the same team that organized the Dialogue Forum, the same company, a private one, that we contract to organize the meeting of our assembly. To organize everything, the logistic, the side events, the cultural evening, the transfers, we don't need to worry about anything. They will arrange everything alone. And I thought, okay, with this bad example of Dialogue Forum, is better. I explained to Martin that it's better to be aware that maybe they are not so professional.
Okay, well, I will take that up with Anda and her colleagues, but also I think I'll talk to Jamal Fakru, who is the chair of the organizing committee, and I will try to understand better, so that we are forewarned. Maybe since they have signed the contract, it is too late to do anything, but then we need to put in place corrective measures that would make us have our meeting under very, I would say, comfortable conditions. I will talk to Anda. I'm sure they are fully aware of all these challenges that you may have with organizing team on the ground, and we can see how we mitigate those, because it might be too late now to get
them
to...
Yes, the contract is signed. Yes, so,
yes, yes, the contract is signed. So, but we'll just be aware of that and we see how we can mitigate it. And I will take this up. I know that Jamal is very confident and keen for the conference to take place under very good conditions. So I will talk to him again and see what we can do to support them.
Because yes, the contract is signed, but we needed to be maybe on their side to be aware that everything will work well. Because as I had the experience, maybe this company is not so good, or at least so professional.
Yeah. Okay.
And they will spend a lot of money with them.
yeah, that's right. They're spending a fortune. Yes. Yes. Okay. I will look into that. Yes.
The other issues is the same. I'm trying the bilateral meetings that I have there in Kigali, because many delegations ask how it's possible to have assistance from the IPU to their parliaments, Cote d'Ivoire, Gabon, Guinea, and Qatar. And Qatar, I give an answer. You gave me Mokhtar and the name of a lady, I don't know exactly, but you said can be the focal point. Please say them that they contact them and they will say. But the other ones, Cote d'Ivoire, Gabon and Guinea, okay, it's just to show to you and express to you that they wish technical assistance. I don't know what kind of assistance.
Yeah, okay, just very quickly, for Cote d'Ivoire, the speaker is new, so I don't think they explained to him that we have been supporting the Parliament of Cote d'Ivoire, especially regarding their national reconciliation program. You know, we have an agreement with them under which we support them, send delegations to the various parts of the country to preach reconciliation following the crisis and the war they had in their country. That one we have been doing, and I'm not sure that the Speaker of Parliament was briefed on that, and that's why I was asking. In any case, I have asked my colleagues, they are going to carry out discussions with them to see if that cooperation can be expanded to cover other areas, you know, as the Speaker wishes. For Guinea, I had a long conversation with the Speaker, and I told him that we were prepared to give the same assistance we're giving to Mali, as a transitional parliament, for them to
consolidate democracy and so on.
And he agreed. I have written to him, I think it was last week or so, to that effect. He actually invited me to Guinea to come for the opening of the session of the parliament, but I couldn't go because it was just, the invitation came 2-3 days before. But we as I mentioned in the governing council, we want to give them the type of support that we're giving to Mali, you know, for them to help them facilitate the transition process. For Qatar, when I met the speaker the first time in Madrid, following the elections, and I also met with Hamda, the deputy speaker, I proposed that since this was the first time they were having, they had had elections for the Shura Council, we could provide and support them in terms of building capacity building programs for the members of for the MPs, and we could do an induction program. They agreed, but they didn't follow up. The ambassador in Geneva, who is a former parliamentarian, also is aware of this, and she said that she was going to convey that information to the Shura Council when she came to see me. So we are open. We can have that discussion with them and see what type of support we can give them, because we need to help them, you know, accompany their democracy process. For Yemen, I think last week the Speaker of the Parliament came here, and you know, we did sign an agreement to provide technical assistance to the Parliament. Of course, between you and me, This is a political gesture more than anything else, because that parliament is only there in name. we just want to show that we continue to monitor what is happening in Yemen, and we stand ready to support the parliament. Well, hopefully that it is actually functioning somewhere. So we continue to deal with these parliaments, especially those in transition, to do what we have explained to the governing bodies, that we don't only come and tell them that there has been a coup in a country. We also tell them what we are trying to do to help the transitional authorities come out of the consequences of the coup. For Gabon, yes, I did also talk to the president, the speaker, and we are reaching out to them to see what type of support we can give them. But these are all countries who have at one stage received assistance from the IPU. I know I was personally involved in Gabon, where we trained the staff who were responsible for the transcription of the debates of the parliament. At that time, I was running the technical cooperation program in the IPU. So we stand ready to help them, and we will work with them to identify the areas where we can support them.
Okay. Mozambique, we wrote an answer to the parliament. They sent feedback or not?
No. They did invite me. What they did was they sent me a letter saying that I should come and talk about international cooperation and the role of the IPU. And I said that it was on a date that I couldn't go. And I explained to them that we're more interested in providing longer term support, broader support for the. And so, but no, we haven't had any feedback from them so far. Okay. Yes. But again, we're open.
Okay. Martin, thank you. It's also because sometimes we met people and we needed to understand the point of situation to give an answer. Yeah. Otherwise, we don't know. Before I go forward, Bahrain, do you know that the Madam Speaker is not running?
Yes.
And so we will have a new speaker.
We'll have a new speaker, yes. Yes.
She told me that, of course, she will have a great pleasure if we invite her to attending at least the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony. I said, of course, we will send one invitation to her.
Yeah, certainly. We, you know, she's made a great contribution, and that's the least we can do for her.
Yes.
I had hoped that with the high profile we're giving her and international cooperation, the royal family would keep her on, because she's not running because the royal family has told her that no. that's how they operate there. And so it's a pity.
It's a pity.
But luckily, we have somebody like Jamal Fakrou,
who has
been around for a long time and who knows
and know very well IPU, and is a friend. Yeah. So yeah. Otherwise, it will be much worse for us.
Yes.
About Angola, tell me, we received the invitation, but the mission went to Angola until now.
The mission is going later this month. I think it's on the 24th and 25th of November.
Ah, okay.
Yes. I haven't had the latest information, but they have proposed to the Angolan side that they have that mission around that period. So they're going to go there. I will just check with Anda if we have received a response from Angola confirming those dates. But I must say it's going to be challenging because the rate of response from them is very low. they're not very active. I don't think they realize the magnitude of the task involved in organizing an assembly such as ours. You know, because Anda has complained to me saying that they have written many times to them and that they're not receiving any responses. And
okay, so I will talk with Idalina as well. And what about the offices? Uruguay is going well. There happened something officially in accordance with the terms of references that we approved in Kigali, or the situation is completely on the same point?
No. I have written, I think it was last week or early this week, I've written to Mrs. Agyemon, as well as to the Speaker of Egypt, conveying to them the decision of the Governing Council, sending that note that was endorsed by the Governing Council that explains the requirements for opening a regional office. And I have explained to Mrs. Agyemon, as well as the Speaker of Egypt, that I have designated a focal point within the IPU to carry out those consultations so that I can then report to the Governing Councils on whether or not Uruguay or Egypt qualify to open offices. That message has gone to both of them. And so I do imagine, according to the discussions we had in Kigali, Hopefully, those consultations can be concluded in time for me to make proposals to the Governing Council in Bahrain. Yes, that is my what I have told both parliaments. This, when we are in COP27, I have planned to be in Cairo for a couple of days after the COP meeting, to go and talk to the authorities and also visit the premises where they have planned to have the office. So I do shoot two birds with one stone, and hopefully I have a better understanding of what is going on. But otherwise, that's where we are. I do understand that some of them are impatient to have those offices, but we have to do it in a way that gives us the most guarantees of success. Otherwise, that might take us back several years. So that's where we are with the regional offices.
Thank you. About the permanent observer of IPU, the Al-Quds, I will just give you the information, and I don't know if you have anything. So I met Dr. Ravza and the Palestinian delegation in Kigali. And I asked Ravza if the information that was presented during our executive meeting, that Turkey is rising restrictions, and also are worried about Al-Quds, if it is true, and the Palestinians, what they think about this group. During our assembly, Ravza came back to me saying that she received information from the Foreign Affairs and from the Speaker of the Grand National Assembly that it's okay for them because it's a fake information. They still supporting the Al-Quds, and so forget it. For us, we will agree with the statue of observer to the Al-Quds. The relation between our government and our assembly and the Al-Quds is the same. On the other hand, the Palestinians didn't give an answer until now. Of course, the representative there said to me, I need to ask others, the leaders of our assembly. It is not a decision that I can express here myself. I understood that. And until now, they didn't give us any kind of information.
Okay.
I don't know from your side if you receive something different or from that.
Okay, Duarte, you and I, we are friends. Let me just tell you that whatever they say and what happens, I personally have explained to you that I think it would be counterproductive for us to admit such an organization as observers in the IPU for all the reasons I've explained to you. But also, on the basis of objective assessments, we do know that this organization is a front for the Muslim Brotherhood, the extremist wing of Islam and all of that. And so the Palestinians themselves, if you talk to them individually and informally, they'll tell you we don't want them to represent us, to fight for us. Then I also talked to some members of the delegation, and they told me we don't know this organization. That they were just being nice. They were being nice because they do know that organization exists, but they don't want them to represent them. So for me, I think that it is just a way for the Muslim Brotherhood to come into the IPU. It is just like Hamas trying to get into the IPU. They are all the same. It doesn't help us in our relationship with some of our key partners, those, for instance, the United States Congress, Israel, and all of that. For me, I do know that the Muslim Brotherhood is a tool in the hands of Mr. Erdogan. It's part of his Islamist agenda. And so they may say they don't want to, they're not expelling those people or restricting their movements. But I have my doubts about us entertaining their request for observer status.
Okay, but we have, without need to talk about our own fears, may I say, the absence of answer from the Palestinian side will cover the delay of any decision about it.
Yes, that's right. So for the time being, I think it's right. I think the absence, the silence, that silence is resounding.
I like it.
But I have also asked my colleague Mokhtar to do further investigation so that we have more facts about this organization. And so that if we're asked, even the gentleman, the Algerian, who is in the executive committee, he is one of those who was really fighting.
Yeah, always committed.
And when we started explaining some of those things to him outside the meeting, he said, oh, I didn't know that. So, So I think there are so many doubts about this organization that we have to be careful.
Okay. The other one that we didn't text, G7 Plus, I received there in Kigali. I explain why, and they will create a platform of parliamentarians of these countries. And I said it will help to change the position if the G7 Plus organize
a parliamentarian
platform to cooperate and so on. Okay, create and then came back with the issue. But until now, of course, it is not something that they can create in just 1 month. But I have this kind of answer. The other one, the Association of Secretary Generals of the Arab Parliament, is they insist a lot. But I don't know why we should change the position, because the Secretary of the Association, they answer that they are not attending the Association of the Secretary Generals of Parliaments. That's why. Otherwise, but I don't know why to change the position, believe me.
Okay, well, when did you speak with them? During Kigali?
Yes, during Kigali.
Yeah, I spoke with the president of that association.
Yes.
I think on the last day when we were packing our stuff, and I explained to him the rationale behind the decision of the governing bodies, and he said he understood. And I reassured him that it did not mean that we're not going to cooperate with the association. We are going to work on a program, an agreement, which you know, cements our intention to cooperate in a number of areas, including capacity building for staff in the Arab world. So he was happy with that, you know. He understood that, you know, it might not be appropriate at this particular stage to give them that observer status. So since this happened after you had spoken with him, I think maybe this dossier at this time is, we just let it, leave it on the back burner.
Okay. Just for me, just two other questions. One is the amendment of the status.
Yes.
I don't know who can have the initiative to promote it. Because I refer twice, and when I talk in the bilateral meetings with many delegations, they agree that if it's possible to have the vote, I don't know, we have votes of condemnation or votes of solidarity or something, regards, can be important to our organization, because I believe what happened there, it's something that shows that our statutes are not fair. No one is against Pakistan, and to show the solidarity of the international community with the Pakistanis. Just they need to approve one and to reject the other. But if you have in our statutes the possibility of a vote of solidarity, it is not a resolution, but a vote of, as we have in our own parliament, a vote of solidarity, to say that the assembly of IPU meeted in Kigali during this and this, expressed solidarity with the people of Pakistan and the authorities of Pakistan about the floods that killed so many and displaced so many people, and so on, so on, so on. It's a new step relevant to the organization. Also, if we are in the meeting, during the meeting, and there is one terrorist attack that will kill 100 persons, a vote of condemnation, this terrorist attack during, otherwise it seems that we are there and we don't know who is passing in our world, you know. During the assembly, 1,000 parliamentarians, on the third day, all the news are talking about bomb in metro, in I don't know where, that killed 100 persons. And we don't express the solidarity and to the families of the people that died, and the condemnation of this kind of terrorist attacks. It seems that IPU is not a real organization.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I too got that. That's how I understood the discussions that took place in Kigali. Yes, we can. I think there are a variety of ways of doing it. We can do a formal amendment to the rules of the assembly, which means a country can move that the rules be amended in a certain way with the language, and we would do the normal. I think there's a procedure with time limits and all like for amending the rules of the assembly, and we can go through that procedural thing to amend the rules. Then I think that what we have done in the past, it's a more political resolution, and that is, in the case, and I think we did it in Kigali, although it may not have come out as clearly as possible, we, in your presidential statement at the end, at the beginning, I think at the beginning or at the end of the assembly, you did refer to the solidarity of the parliamentary community with what has happened in Pakistan. So we can think of a situation, if people don't want to go down the route of amending the rules, to ask the president if the vote on the emergency item is so close that there is an understanding that if it had not been for the winner, you would have supported the other one, then they can ask the president to issue a presidential statement of solidarity of the parliamentary community. And we would do that text for you, and you have it adopted as such by the assembly. So there are ways that we can deal with this. But this brings me to the general view. There has been I would say the plan to maybe go through the rules again and see if there are things that over time has now superseded and that we need to move on and see how we adapt our rules, just like we did for the virtual assembly.
Yes,
we,
yes.
Yes, we can do that. And we have planned that in 2023, we will take a look at all the provisions of the rules to see if there are things that we can change, we can propose to change. But then we have to be careful too, because you are a political organization.
Yes, of course.
And when you open that door, everybody will want to have amendments that suit them.
No, Martin, believe me, I'm completely aware of that. And I understood that if we try to make a revision of our rules,
yes,
we saw the discussions we had because of the offices.
If yes.
We will, we can. We will spend 1 week discussing rules and forget. Yes. That's why I try to talk in a very concrete, with some as we change our rules when we have the proposals from the gender partnership group or of the forum, very precisely try to avoid any kind of controversial discussion, because I believe that everyone will accept that if there is one event that we should, as parliamentarian community, to condemn or to show the solidarity, it will be in accordance with our status, not against the statutes. Because if we try to change more than very precisely rules,
it will be a mess. It will be a mess. We'll never come out of that.
Yes.
So okay. Let's. I'll ask my colleagues for us to give some thought to it. And I think that those two options that I've given to you are things that we can examine. One, formally amending the rules, or the other one, just saying that in such cases where the votes are very close, then a presidential statement in support or in condemnation, because in some cases it could be condemnation, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So let's reflect on that and see how, and come back to this and, you know. Okay.
The last question is just one to ask an information, because we are in November. There happened until now any proposal of the ATEN, or until now you didn't receive anything?
Sorry?
ATEN. The proposals should come before the end of the year. Did the office receive anything until now?
I don't understand. I don't understand the question. The item, what item?
No item. ATEN.
Yeah.
The anthem of IPU.
The anthem, the IPU
anthem. Anthem. No, I don't think we have received. Sharon, check with Thomas. I don't know if we have received anything, because I didn't check that.
I will check.
Yes.
It's just curiosity, not more than that.
Yeah, I'll send you the information. let Sharon check, and before the end of the day, we'll send you the the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have anything more.
Okay, very good. I need to rush now to go to the airport. But a couple of things. Sharon, you said that you had asked the president's office for his boarding passes for the Kazakh mission.
I am trying to find it, believe me.
Yes.
Yesterday, I spent all the afternoon looking for it in my office. But I didn't found yet. So this afternoon I will see more papers, because it should be in my office, but I don't know where. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, please do, because otherwise we would charge 12,000 to your budget for next year.
I will try to find it. I will try to. I need to find it. I don't know where.
Okay, very good. The other thing is, we are going to have this regional seminar in Togo on the 30th of November.
Yes.
They have now come back to us to say that it clashes with another big meeting that they have there, and the facilities that they had earmarked for our meeting are being taken by the government for their own event. So they're asking to postpone. And so I am. We have checked with the African Parliamentary Union, and they're fine, happy to postpone. But I don't think that it is nice for us to postpone for just 1 week or 2 weeks. So it may well be that I will propose that we do the meeting early in the year.
Yes.
So that, yes, because doing it now, you know, it's too close.
Yes, in January or February before the assembly.
Yes, and then I just wanted to let you know, I don't know, there is this, the Alliance of Civilizations meeting in Morocco, I think on the 23rd of November. You have been invited, I have been invited, but we don't have any formal role there. And I was wondering whether you had planned to go.
No, Martin, I am not available to go. Because it's the vote of my budget, national budget.
Okay.
And so I am not available. If you are, great.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. The last thing I have on my list here is I think my office did send to your office a proposal for the composition of the advisory group on health. But I would suggest that you don't look at that proposal at this stage. I want to take a second look before we send you formal proposals. You know, the president of the IPU appoints members to the advisory group, and it's supposed to reflect geopolitical balance, gender balance. And I
will wait a new proposal.
Yes, you are waiting a new proposal. Okay.
No problem.
Okay, those are the things I had on my list.
No, and that's so okay. Please, a safe journey. We will meet Sunday.
On Sunday morning. Okay.
Have a safe journey.
You too.
And please try to understand if the UN Status of Women may happen on the 2nd of March.
Okay, we will check that. Okay.
Thank you. Safe journey. Good afternoon, bye. Sharon.
Okay, bye.
Safe travels to everyone.